one star over another? Do you know that particular glory of the one star over another? Do you know that not all of us in the kingdom that is to come are going to be glorified equally? Are all the stars equally glorious? Are all the planets equally glorious? Are all animals equally glorious? Are all people equally handsome or equally beautiful? Are all they equally tall? Thank God, you know, we're not clones, are we? Some people are better looking than other people. Now, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. We understand that. And beauty is not just physical. It's also having a virtuous heart, virtuous characteristic. But we recognize there are people on this planet that are much better looking than other people. Right? And if there wasn't, Hollywood and news media wouldn't make such a big deal out of it. And in the age to come, really, that's not going to change. There will be people and there will be those on the planet that have more of the glory of God on them. Because God will their obedience right now. Part of that is based upon their obedience right now. See, some people, those people who have given their lives as martyrs, they've laid down their life for the cause of Christ, which millions upon millions of God's people have done that through the age. They're going to receive a reward for doing that. The Bible calls it a martyr's crown. They're going to receive, not only, I believe, they're not only going to receive a dimension of glory for their faithfulness, who did not even love their lives unto death, but they're going to receive a degree of authority that goes with that. Now, in the age to come, the Bible also talks about that we have garments of salvation and robes of righteousness. You know that they're different? The Bible says, put on the garment of salvation and put on the robes of righteousness. The Bible talks about in Revelation, it talks about, I saw before the throne of God this host that no man could number, and they were worse, or the garments. Those are the robes of righteousness, or the garment of salvation. I'm not sure which they are. But it seems to make a distinction in the Bible that they're two different things. Now, I believe, I can't prove this through Scripture, if you look at the Bible and you look at what Lucifer looked like, he was called the anointed cherub that covered. There's some belief that Lucifer seemed to have this creation in him where his body literally could make musical sounds. He was a worship leader in heaven. The Bible says he was perfect. He was glorious. Matter of fact, Lucifer meant light bearer. He was a bearer of the glory of God until iniquity was found in him. He became wrapped up in his own conceit, and he began to exalt himself in thinking that he should be God, and he was given a name, and of course he self-deceived himself and deluded a third of the angels and led them in rebellion against God and was cast out of heaven and then became known as the dragon, the serpent, the deceiver. Sure. But I believe that unflattering names in Scripture. But I believe that when we live on this planet that perhaps we'll be clothed in garments that have to do with our authority. There'll be supernatural things that you and I, because see, we're not going to be like normal people. The redeemed of the Lord will be in an echelon. We will be above the rest of the planet. We will live in a place of greater authority than people that simply make it through the tribulation period. But let me back up. The second kind of people that will be at the second coming of Christ will be the reprobate. These are the people that gave allegiance to the Antichrist and served the beast and took the mark of the beast. And I believe that most of those people, I'm not sure about all of them, but I believe most of them will be probably executed and cast into hell. And hell is simply a waiting place till the great white throne judgment. And I believe the reason for it, they've sold their souls to the devil. They've sold their souls to the devil. Now, there's some people that believe in what's called universalism, that believes that everybody will be saved. We don't adhere to that at all. In my estimation, it's a doctrine of devils. There's too much in the Bible that points very clearly. Jesus himself, who is the final authority, said, "Wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it, but narrow, hard, difficult is the way that leads to life, and very few there are that find that." The sad commentary, as much as we hate to admit this, that most of the people on this planet right now are not going to be in the kingdom. They're going to be in the lake of fire. The Bible says that. Now, should we just go, well, they're all going to hell anyhow, so what should we do about it? No, we should have compassion. We're trying to rescue them out of the flames. That's what we're here for. We're trying to save them from that. We don't want people to die and go to hell. God has no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. God has no delight in them. The wicked person we could imagine on this planet, God has no delight in them being destroyed. As a matter of fact, I believe Christ is not looking forward to that day, but he looks at it as a necessary thing he must do. But he will do it in justice. Amen. So the reprobate, those who have sold their souls to the devil, taken the mark of the beast, and worshipped and given allegiance to the devil, God cannot redeem them. They've made their choice. They've completely rejected Christ, and they will be cast out of that kingdom. Then the third group of people is during the time of the Great Tribulation. Again, the Antichrist will not rule the whole planet. He will predominantly rule the Middle East. He will rule some nations of Europe, I believe. He will rule other nations, much like Adolf Hitler. Did Adolf Hitler rule the whole world? Has any world dictator, any world government ever ruled the whole world? No, and they never will until Christ comes as ruler over the planet. So nations that resist him, he will conquer. Christ will not rule the whole world. There will be nations that resist him. He will conquer nations. There will be nations that resist him, just like Hitler, and he will conquer them and take them over. But there will be many nations that don't adhere to him, and they resist him, and they stand against him. And there will be people in even nations that he has conquered, just like the French resistance during Adolf Hitler's occupation. There will be people in those countries that fight against the Antichrist, that they aren't necessarily Christians, they aren't Jews, they haven't surrendered to Christ, but they aren't surrendering to the Antichrist either. They know he's evil and they don't want him. But yet they haven't surrendered to Christ necessarily either. And of course, there will be believers at that time that come to Christ. There will be multitudes of people that are saved during the time of the Great Tribulation. There will be multitudes of Jewish people that are saved during that time of the Great Tribulation. But there will be multitudes of people that don't get saved during that time. I mean, there is approximately, we're heading on this planet right now. Possibly, a third of those people could be killed. So by the time Jesus Christ comes back, or even more of them could be killed. By the time Jesus Christ comes back, we're still looking at an earth population of probably 3 billion people. That's a lot of people. They're not just going to disappear. Well, who are the people? We're coming. We'll be here with Christ. The saints that have gone to heaven will come here and they'll be with us. The armies of heaven, the angels will be here. And the unredeemed will be here. These are people that have resisted the Antichrist, but they've not surrendered to the mark of the beast, but they have also not surrendered to Christ. They've not given their hearts to Christ. And during that time, Jesus will gather the nations before him and he will judge his kingdom. Any form of anything that is opposed to his kingdom. Any form of government, any form of lawlessness, any idolatry, any demonic thing that has polluted those nations. Just like rulers of Israel, when they righteous kings would rise up and they'd tear down the Asherah poles, or they would get rid of the Baal worship. They'd get rid of those things and they'd tear down the altars of Baal and cleanse the land. At the same time, that's what's going to happen to this planet. Every bit of pornography, every bit of sexual perversity is going to be out of this planet. You're not going to walk into a grocery store and Cosmo's talking about sex in your face. Thank God. You're not going to turn on your television and there's some ungodly thing on there or somebody blaspheming God. That's not going to happen. Then you say, well, is there going to be television? I don't know. I don't think we're necessarily going to go back to the Stone Age. I think things are going to... I don't know what the form of communication will be at that time. Somebody said, I hope we're not... I don't know what, you know, somebody said, I hope we're not driving Priuses around during that time. You know, I don't know what the mode of transportation will be at that time. Maybe God will give us some type of supernatural knowledge as to how to get it. Because again, we will travel. We can travel supernaturally because we're going to have glorified bodies. We won't have to get in a car and drive over. We'll just go think it and we're there. We'll be able to communicate beyond just physical means because we'll have supernatural means. We'll be able to communicate even by looking. We'll look at people and know who they are. You won't have to have anybody introduce you to them. We'll have the wisdom and knowledge of God. We'll be filled with the glory of Christ. The glory of God will emanate from our being. And we'll have authority. Nothing can hurt us. We won't starve. We won't get tired. We won't have these bodies dragging them around like, would you get out of bed and pray? Hard time. You won't have any of that. You won't have any of that. That'll all be gone. You won't have any fleshly restrictions. You won't have any fleshly temptation at the, oh, I know I shouldn't do that, but I'm doing it anyhow. You won't have any of that. Glory to God. We'll be without fetter, without restriction. We'll be glorified like Christ. We'll be able to walk through walls. We'll be able to be on one side of the planet and Christ, hey, I need you over here. Bam, we're over there by thought, because we'll be able to travel at the speed of light or beyond. We'll be able to actually travel at the speed of eternity, which supersedes. You know, like Star Trek, they want to travel at warp speed. We know that that's an impossibility because matter dissolves when it gets to a certain speed. So the fact that human beings traveled, the only way human beings could ever travel beyond the speed of light is we'd have to dissolve our bodies.
Well, I think we could do it.
Do it when Jesus gets back. Amen? Do it when Jesus gets back. Amen? See, there's a lot of smart people on this planet that have glimpses of certain things because God gives revelation and they get hold of it, but they don't have the sense of God to do anything with it that's worthwhile.
Well, I think we can clone people.
For what? So you can kill other people?
Well, if we could clone people, you know, if we could extract parts from people, that's really what this cloning business is all about, in case you didn't know it.
It's all about raising people to take their body parts so other people can live. You know why? Because there's lots of money in it. Because those people would not be considered people. They're cloned people. So all that's never going to happen. It's on its way right now, folks. There are people on this planet that have a ton of intelligence, godly brains. They just use it for wickedness. Because it's money that makes the world go round, and if people can make money off of it, they'll do it. You know, let me get on my high horse since I'm at it. You know, you constantly hear this thing about, we're finding a cure for cancer. Everybody's wearing pink around. They're never going to find a cure for cancer. Put your thinking noggin on. People are out there fundraising for cancer research. And if you do that, I'm not bashing you or anything, but just think about that for a moment. What would happen if suddenly they found a cure to cancer? All that money would be gone. It's not about finding a cure. It's about making money. Because the cure is already there. You just can't put it in a bottle and charge you $50 million for it. If they could do that, they'd find the cure. End of high horse preaching there. But a lot of people disagree with me on that. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. But it's, you know, they've been searching for a cure for how many years? And it doesn't seem like we're getting closer. Well, when are you going to get there? Well, when we get enough of your money. Which will never be. Amen. I can't get off there. Let's get off that. Anyhow. Well, praise the Lord. So the three types of people, the wicked who will be thrown out of the kingdom, I believe, those will not enter into the kingdom which is to come. There will be the unredeemed, but they are those who resist the Antichrist kingdom, and then there'll be us, the redeemed. Now, what's going to happen with the unredeemed? Well, there'll be a lot of people in governments and institutions that haven't surrendered to Christ, that don't want to surrender to Christ, because God's not going to force people to serve him. He's going to give them a choice. So for 1,000 years, think of this, 1,000 years on this planet, that 3 billion people are going to crank, the Bible said, and fill the earth. They're going to go like the Bible said and fill the earth. So for 1,000 years, 3 billion people are probably going to fill this planet to probably, could be 10 billion people. Could be 50 billion people.
Well, you know, population control.
Well, there won't be a curse in the earth. If it wasn't for the curse and the wickedness of men, there's no such thing as there's too many people. It's just there's too much sin. And when you don't do things God's way, then you destroy the work of your hands, and you won't have famine, you won't have pestilence, the earth won't have the curse in it, so you plant a rutabaga, look that big at that time, man. I'm telling you, I mean, the earth's going to begin giving forth its fullness, which it hasn't been able to do. The nutrients of the earth are going to be restored. It's going to be like prehistoric times almost, man. You know, they say that during the prior earth and the oxygen content of water, the Bible says it covered the earth, and the oxygen content in the atmosphere was so great that that's why dinosaurs were lived the earth on the earth. They weren't 100 billion years ago. Dinosaurs roamed the earth during Adam and Eve. And the things were big. But after the canopy was gone, they couldn't survive because the atmosphere changed in the planet. There are some creationist scientists believe the earth, even non-creationist scientists believe the earth, prior to the flood, stood upright on its axis and turned this way. But that displacement of water caused such power that it rocked the planet and it turned. You know, that seems maybe far-fetched to you, but if you even think of the great tsunami that hit Japan, remember the tsunami a few years ago that wiped out Japan? Such great, those floods that came. They say that that earthquake was so strong that it literally rocked the planet. It turned, it rocked it on its axis. So this is all going to be in the earth, and the earth is going to be, sin's not going to, like we've known it, is not going to be in the earth, and the earth is going to be yielding crops. So the earth will, I mean, you probably could raise enough on 50 acres to feed a billion people. It's going to be abundant. It's going to be abundant. Praise God. So the earth is going to flourish. And the nations, we're going to just begin looking at this. We're not going to get into it. But Zechariah chapter 14 gives us a really great description, and you might want to read this week, because next week we're going to preach out of this, Lord willing. Gives us a great description of the end time events that are going to happen at the return of Christ and the things of the millennial kingdom. Now, it says, when the day of the Lord is coming, when your possessions will be plundered right in front of you, I will gather all nations to fight against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses looted, and the women raped. Half of the population will be taken into captivity. Back up a little bit because I jumped over the ruins of the city. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit because I jumped ahead. Now I'm going to go back and fill in some blanks here. When the Antichrist signs this peace treaty with Israel, it's diabolical, and he has one intention, and that is to deceive the nations and deceive Israel to eventually destroy Israel, just like Hamas is doing today, just like Iran is doing. And their purpose is to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And there's coming, when he breaks that peace treaty with Israel, he's going to go on an all-out rampage, and Israel, and specifically the city of Jerusalem, will be sacked. They will come into Jerusalem, and I believe this is a description of what's going to happen under the Antichrist reign. It's a gruesome thing. They're going to slaughter the Jewish people. It'll be another Holocaust to their lives to the other nations. The Jewish people are going to flee for their lives to the other nations. That's where I believe that the righteous that are on the earth, in other nations like America and other nations that survive and are still here, God is going to judge nations based upon what they do with the Jewish people and the righteous people. So if Jews try to come to another country and nations say, no, we don't want you here, those nations will face the consequences of that. They will face the consequences of it. Or if they join leagues with the Antichrist to kill God's people, the Jewish people, or kill the righteous. Because it's not just Jews that are fleeing for their lives. It's the righteous. Because the dragon goes forth to make war against the woman and her children, which represents believers. Messianic Jews as well as... But he's going to try to kill the Jewish people. And this is what's going to happen. He's going to sack Jerusalem. And he's going to slaughter the Jewish people. And they're going to run for their life. And the Jewish people are going to be taken... Because we see the Islam... Who will do this? The Islamic hordes. Because we see the Islam, I mean, it's pretty simple to see what's going to happen. Islam, through ISIS right now, what nation predominantly takes slaves? Islam. What nation predominantly, what people predominantly behead people? Islam. I saw a great host before the throne of God who had been beheaded. They came out of the great tribulation. They'd been beheaded for the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. Why would they be beheaded? Because Islam beheads people. They're doing it right now. We even see it on the media where they take people out and behead them in front of the whole world. Guess what? I believe during the time of the Antichrist, this will be on probably the nightly news. And the people who are of the devil will rejoice in that. They'll, oh yeah, we're slaughtering a bunch of the Jews. We're slaughtering those. If you go to Islamic countries today, Westerners have no clue of the barbarism of Islamic nations. You go to children and run over them with cars. They behead people right out in public. They take children and run over them with cars. They cut your hands off. They gouge your eyes out. People that say, well, Christianity is just as bad as Islam. You're a moron for saying that. You don't know what you're talking about, doughhead. Ship you over there. See how well you like it. Down with Christ, down with God, down with Christmas, down with... Ship you over there, see how well you do it. You go ahead and protest over there, they cut your tongue out. They will kill you for even criticizing Muhammad. A barbarism. Barbarism. Absolute barbarism. And this is what's going to happen when the city of Jerusalem is sacked. Let me just throw something in that, while it's on my mind, that you may not recognize. I didn't know this till a little while ago. You know, when Jerusalem was doing some research on this, you know, when Jerusalem was sacked by the Romans in 70 AD, a lot of futurists interpret that that was the Antichrist, abomination of desolation. And that's why a lot of people think that the revived Roman Empire will be the one that ushers in the Antichrist kingdom because of what happened in 70 AD. But if you look at the Roman Empire and the way they ruled, they were a vast, vast empire. But the Roman Empire wasn't about going in and smashing and crushing people. It was about assimilating people. They would go in and take over a nation, and they would give that nation a basis of autonomy. They would occupy a nation with their army or with their troops, but they would, for the most part, allow that nation to have its free government, providing you paid taxes, you didn't rise up a rebellion against the Roman Empire, and you were loyal to the autonomy. As a matter of fact, they'd come in and they'd let you have autonomy. As a matter of fact, they'd come in and they'd build infrastructure, they'd build roads, they'd build places they would improve much of the nations they were in. The only thing is you had to be ruled by the Romans, which of course they didn't like. If you remember when Jesus was on the earth, the Romans allowed the nation of Israel to have a temple, right? They allow them to worship the God of their ancestors as long as they didn't cause trouble and rebel. And of course, as long as they paid their taxes. Right? Do you know that when Jerusalem was sacked in 70 AD by the Roman legions under Titus, the emperor himself gave instructions. It's in Josephus' handwriting books and different historians' books that the emperor himself commanded that they not destroy the temple. So why was the temple destroyed? Because you see, because the Roman Empire became so vast, they did not put in all these places Romans to put in all these places. Just like, you know, if we were going to rule the whole world as a nation, we only have, what, 500,000 troops, something like that right now in our army, I think somewhere along that line. With reserves, we probably have a million maybe. But we could not stock all the troops, if you were going to rule the whole world, which the Roman Empire was, they'd keep their legions there. You couldn't rule it. So what they would do is they would raise up troops from within those nations. In the writings of Josephus and other historical writings, the people that went in and slaughtered the Jewish people were the Arabs. Because those legions that were in Jerusalem were Arabic, of Arab descent. That's who was the legions. They weren't Italians. They were Arabs. And the Arabs hated the Jews. And when the Jews began to flee, it was reported, and this rumor went throughout in their bellies so they could get out of town. And this rumor went throughout those legions that the Jews had swallowed gold, so they would take the women and children and people, and they'd slaughter them and cut them open to get the money out of them. And they set the temple on fire. As a matter of fact, when the Roman emperor, when Titus heard that Jerusalem and when the temple was on fire, he commanded to get the temple put out because they did not want to destroy the temple. So take it up to modern days. It's not the revived Roman Empire. It never has been the Roman Empire. It is the Arab nations that have always, 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 you look at the enemies of Israel in the Old Covenant that always tried to slaughter the Jewish people. Who were they? Where did they come from? They came from the Moabites, the Amalekites, all of Arabic, all of Middle Eastern descent, because the Bible is Middle Eastern, and all those nations that have always been from the destroy the Jewish people have always been from the Middle East. And guess what? In the last days, the Antichrist hordes will be of the Middle East as well. The only people I know on this planet, while there's a lot of anti-Semitism growing around the world, unfortunately, but it's spurned on from Islam. The reason Europe is becoming so anti-Semitic today, again, like it was under Adolf Hitler, is because you have so many Muslims who hate Jews coming into Europe and spurring it on. That's what's going on. It's the same thing. It's just history revolving and repeating itself, and the Antichrist hordes will be the revived Islamic caliph. That's why we're seeing all around Israel, you look at all those nations, they are not European, they are not Western, they are Islamic. And that will be the revived that talked about. You know, it says they couldn't adhere of that statue that Daniel talked about. You know, it says they couldn't adhere to one another. I know I'm throwing this in here. They couldn't adhere to one another. Do you know that Islam has never gotten along with itself, ever? After Muhammad died, there were great wars among the Islamic warlords because he didn't appoint a successor. And it wasn't until later when other warlords rose up strong enough that he became the emperor, the ruler of Islam. But Islam has never been united. We see almost civil wars going on right now between what? The Shiite and the Sunnis. They can't stand each other. They hate each other. Most Muslims being killed today are by other Muslims killing them. They hate each other. But 1 hour with the Antichrist, he will unite them. He will unite those nations under a common cause. And you know what that common cause is? Death to Christian. And death to the infidel Christian. And death to anyone who opposes Allah and his prophet Muhammad. But in that case, it's going to be, of course, Allah, but it will be the Antichrist. And they'll think he's God come to the earth. And in their religion, it is God come to the earth because their God is a God that kills people. That's what he's all about. He's about slaughtering, dominating. And here again, can you see the contrast between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Antichrist? Well, Jesus will have justice, and we're going to talk about that justice next week. He will have mercy and compassion, and his justice will be pure and holy. It won't be just killing people because they disagree with him. It will be killing people who slaughter other people and are using other people and afflicting other people and massacring other people. Those people that are going to be allowed to go into multitudes that have made it through the tribulation, been redeemed, those multitudes that have made it through the tribulation period, not sworn allegiance to the beast or the mark of the beast, they will be allowed to have free will. And they will be allowed to govern nations. They will be allowed to have autonomy to some degree. But as we're going to see next week, they'll also be forced and made to come to Jerusalem to worship God. But we see at the end of this great tribulation period, we skip forward when Satan is let out, what do? He goes out and deceives the nations, and they still try to overthrow God. It's God's way of giving man everything he could ask for. God's living among us. So people can't say, well, you know, if God came down and I could see God, I would believe in God. God is just going to point that out, that that's a lie. Because even with God living on the planet, God instituting his righteousness, with God making it plain to everyone, I'm God, here I am, there's none besides, after 1,000 years, no other God but me, even after 1,000 years, there will come a generation who will rise up and say, we don't want you. We don't like God ruling over us. We'll be our own God. I will exalt myself to the throne of God. And they're going to try to come up and destroy God. And at that time, fire is going to come out of heaven and consume them. And that's going to be the end of the show. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. We're going to wrap it up this morning. A lot of stuff. I'm sorry I jumped around a bit this morning, but this is, again, a big subject. Next week, we're going to look a little bit more at Zechariah's prophecy, I believe, a little bit more at some of the practical aspects of the kingdom and the nations worshiping God and what's going to happen during that time. They're going to reinstitute sacrifices at that time, and there's some controversy. Why are they instituting sacrifices? These sacrifices aren't for salvation. They're for honor to God. The Feast of the Lord, a lot of just real practical be kept, and there'll be a lot of just real practical things that are going to go on in the planet at that time that we don't often think about. We think, well, you know, Jesus is going to come back. You know, we're going to sit around on a mushroom somewhere and, you know, do nothing. But it won't be. Life will carry on much as we know it today. It's just it'll carry on with righteousness, justice, holiness, and God ruling with us. Or we ruling with Him. Let's put it in the right perspective. Amen? Well, Father, we thank You for the mighty Holy Spirit. We thank You again for the truth of the Word. And we look forward and we pray that we would be able to hasten Your coming. Lord, knowing these things and knowing what's about to take place in this planet, Father, we so appreciate it. We're so grateful that You've given us understanding so we don't have to approach these days in ignorance and not understanding what's going to happen. And we can have eyes to see and ears to hear what You're saying to us by the Spirit of God. And we pray, Father, as we approach the day of Christ, we pray as it says in Revelation, even so, there's much work to be done. But Father, we also recognize there's much work to be done. And there's many of Your people that we're not ready. And we pray that You help Your people to get ready so that we're not overtaken by this hour and swept away with the wicked. But Lord, that we would be ready and watching, our lamps would be trimmed, our hearts would be upright, we'd have the shoes on our feet and the staff in our hand. We would be ready to meet the Lord when He comes, and we would be found doing our Master's, our Father's work. And we bless You for it today. Now, of course, as we close, the first and foremost thing is you must be a believer. You don't want to enter in these days ahead not a believer. The second thing, of course, aside from the fact also you don't want to step out into eternity because you're going to be lost forever. But apart from that, you need to be living where you need to be with God. To be backsliding. Time to be messing around. It's not a time to be backsliding. It's not a time to be messing around in this world that is bent on your destruction and bent on deceiving you and alluring you away with the darkness of this age. It's a time to get right with God, to be holy and pure. So, Father, we pray for every person that You give them strength and uprightness of heart.